The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Praise you, Father God. We've been talking about 'tis the season, and we've had, this is our second message in regards to 'tis the season. Today we're talking about make ready a people prepared for the Lord. This is the second message in that with that title. And as we think about Christmas, I really want us to focus on the reality of what Christmas is and what it should be and what God's desire is for it. You know, you look at all this. This is really what Christmas is all about in our society. One department store put a sign up that said, "Make this the most memorable Christmas of all. Charge everything." Well, let me tell you, that'll make it pretty memorable when you have to start paying off those charges. This is something that we need to realize that I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to live your life that way. I'm in favor of giving gifts. I'm in favor of receiving some gifts. I like that. But that's not what Christmas is all about. We know that. And yet we all get caught up in it from time to time. Be careful in this Christmas season how you spend your money. Listen, we're responsible for handling our finances. We're supposed to be good stewards. I'm in favor of helping people. But you can't help everyone. You have to pick and choose. You have to listen to Holy Spirit and decide what you need to do. I'm in favor of giving gifts, but I'm not in favor of trying to impress people with those gifts. And that's what we do many times. I'm in favor of having a great time at Christmas, our family, our loved ones, spending time together. But man, it can be a hustle and bustle sometimes, right? We have this play, you know, all these people putting all this time into practicing and doing this, and what, half hour, 20 minutes, it's over. Thank you. I appreciate it so much. It was awesome. Amen, amen. But they put a lot of time and effort into this, along with everything else they have to do in their life. Thank you for committing yourself to this, every one of you. It was awesome because it shows that you're looking at this Christmas as the really important things about it. What is important? Let's send the message of Jesus Christ, because this really is what we see for the most part, what Christmas is. Everywhere you go, I mean, right after Thanksgiving, maybe even before Thanksgiving, I started seeing Christmas stuff in the department stores. Everywhere you'd go, Christmas things. So they were promoting. You know, a lot of retail stores depend on Christmas to make it every year. And if it does, it's not a good year, it's really tough for them. I understand that. But we have to get our focus off on this and onto this. This is where we are, really, as believers in Jesus Christ. But it's not just about this as well. We got to remember, this is just a celebration of the birth of our Savior. This is great. We get to celebrate the fact that He came into the world, and we can just praise God and celebrate and have a great time with it. But let's remember that it ultimately ended with that, with the cross, with His death, with giving up His life for us. Let's keep our focus on what is really important in our lives. When we get caught up in all the parties and the places and the things that we have to do and the gifts that we want to buy, the things that we want to do for our family. I know we have good intentions, but it's so easy to get caught up in those things and forget that this ended up with that. And that's a pretty cross. That's not the kind of cross Jesus hung on. As pretty as it is, praise God for that. We've had that for a long time. Hallelujah. But that's pretty compared to what Jesus went through. Christ died on that cross for us. He came into this world as the only begotten Son of God. He came as a child. He grew. He walked on this earth. He performed many miracles, signs, and wonders. But his ultimate purpose was to die on the cross and give us freedom from sin and death. Hallelujah. We are free in Jesus' name. Now, I got a little off track this morning. That's not exactly my message. So. But it really is my message. My overall message is always the cross. I always want to talk about, you know, we're all sinners and we need to be saved by the grace of God. All have fallen short of the glory of God. None of us deserve what Jesus did for us, but he did it because he loved us. And there's one thing that we have to do, and that is receive Christ as our Savior and believe that God raised him from the dead for us. He defeated death and hell. Came back to life. The problem is, it's not just, okay, I'll make that proclamation of faith and then go on and live our life any way we want to. No. Once you make that decision to serve Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have committed to a lifestyle that will please our Heavenly Father. You've committed to be an ambassador for Christ, which means from that point on, things have changed. Things are different. You are different. I want to share a little bit of that with you this morning as we go through this message. Make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Luke chapter 1 verse 17 says, he will also go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Make ready. I talked about this last week. I believe we are an Elijah generation. An Elijah generation. We are to prepare a people for the coming of the Lord. Jesus is coming back. John the Baptist came and prepared the people of his generation and leading up to our time. Repent and be baptized, he told them. They had to follow his instructions. They repented, they were baptized, and they received the Lord. They were prepared for the coming of the Messiah. The Messiah came and he fulfilled his responsibility on the cross. Now we're preparing a people for the return of the Messiah. That's what this generation is all about. There is a people that need to be prepared for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Many don't know that he's going to come and split the eastern sky. And when he does, the Bible says the nations will mourn. They're not going to be happy about it because they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. The nations will mourn. But the people who are prepared for the coming of the Lord will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. We want to prepare people that are coming. Luke chapter 1, we're going to be reading, looking at scripture through 57 through 66. Now Elizabeth full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her. They rejoiced with her. They rejoiced. They were excited about what had taken place. God had shown great mercy to her. David, the psalmist, wrote, "His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever." If you read through the Psalms, that's a message that David just continues to give us. His mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. He talks about things that happen in our lives, but God's mercy endures forever. This life is not a fun place all the time. Amen? I get any amens out there? We go through stuff, don't we? Ups and downs, difficulties. Jesus never promised that it would be easy. He just said, "I'll be with you through it all." And he gave us a comforter, the Holy Spirit, to lead and guide us and direct us. The mercy of God is so awesome. Now, one of the things that I mentioned last week, that family was very important to the Jewish people. They expected to have big families. And when a person did not, or a family did not have children, they were considered to be cursed. And there's some scriptures in the Old Testament that tell us that would lead you to believe that. In Exodus chapter 23, verse 26, it says this: "There will be no miscarriages or infertility in your land, and I will give you long, full lives." Now, this is God promising the children of Israel that this was what was going to happen. Deuteronomy 7:14. "You will be blessed beyond all peoples. There will be no barrenness among you." So as you look at the Old Testament, you realize that God said there's going to be certain things that would take place in the lives of the Jewish people. However, he put stipulations on this. He said, "You must serve me with all your heart, soul, and mind." So when they started sinning, then the natural consequence would be all these kind of things that would come upon them. Remember the blessing that I speak? Well, every offering, well, God, that was God's blessing on the Jewish people. However, he said, if you fail to obey me and follow my ways, he gave them, the curse will come upon you. You will be cursed in the country. You will be cursed in the city. You'll be cursed in your kneading bowls and your baskets. So they understood that when you leave God, you leave the direction and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, of our Almighty God, that there's going to be consequences for that. However, here's what they did. Instead of recognize the consequence came upon the society because the society had turned away from God, the Jewish society, they pointed fingers at the individuals and said, if you're barren, you must have sin in your life. Has anybody ever experienced that in the body of Christ? You know, people do point fingers all the time. It's tough. And here's the great thing about this, and some of you women will appreciate this, they always blamed the women. I didn't mean it was great. I just wanted you to understand. They always blamed the woman. It was the woman's fault that you're barren. The men didn't want to take any responsibility for their actions. It's always the woman's fault. Therefore, in Jewish society, if you had you married a wife and she did not conceive and have a child within 10 years, you were supposed to divorce her. Now, I mentioned this last week. Zacharias loved Elizabeth greatly, and they stayed together their whole life. He had every right to divorce her by the standards of the society. But listen, we don't live by the standards of the society. The society will tell you all kinds of things that you're allowed to do and that you can get away with. But that's not the standard that we live by. We live by a higher standard. We live by the standard that was set by our Almighty God. We live by the standards that Jesus Christ gave us. If we love Him, keep His commandments. Mercy is awesome. Now, here's the thing that we see in this scripture, that God gave mercy but he also gave grace. Now, mercy is deliverance from deserved judgment. Now, we all deserve judgment, but we've been delivered from that judgment because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the mercy of God. Mercy showed up with Zacharias and Elizabeth when God's love just permeated them and touched them and directed them. But there's something else that sometimes we get mercy and grace confused. And mercy is exactly what it said. It's deliverance from deserved judgment. But grace is God's blessing in spite of the fact that we don't deserve it. So God blessed them with a child after many, many years. God's love, God's grace, God's mercy. God is still on the throne. His mercy hasn't changed. His grace is sufficient for us. He has promised us that. I think about the story of David and Mephibosheth. David, you know, in that society, David should have wiped out all of Saul's descendants. Why? Because he didn't want anyone to rise up against him and say, I have a rightful place for the throne. So in that society, when a king overthrew another king, they wiped them all out. The whole family. They got rid of them so they wouldn't have problems in the future. However, David did not do that. Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth, he found him and he brought him. He showed mercy to him by not judging, bringing judgment upon him. But he also showed great grace toward him by bringing him into his household and feeding him, making him a ward of the state, basically. He ate at David's table. He took care of him. He gave him all, he made sure all his needs were met. This is a great picture of what Jesus did for us. He's such an awesome and mighty God. Psalms 86, verse 15 says this, but you, O Lord, are God, full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. Luke chapter 1, verse 59. So it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. His mother answered and said, no, he shall be called John. So my second point is, I say, no, he shall be called John. But the reality is, what I'm saying to all of you is don't necessarily listen to the dictates of other people. Or the accepted way of doing things in society. It was an accepted thing, accepted practice to name the child after you or somebody in your family. However, God had said something different to Zacharias. And Elizabeth knew it. His name was to be John. She got great pressure from her family and her associates, people who were all around her. She was pressured. No, we have to name him after his father. We have to name him after the family. No, his name is to be John because God said it was to be so. It's awesome because Zacharias means Yah remembers or God remembers. But John means God is gracious. God was showing his grace to mankind through this servant who was going to be the forerunner of the Messiah. Verse 61, but they said to her, there is no one among your relative who's called by this name. So they made signs to his father what he would have them call him. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, his name is John. So they all marveled. Listen, when you decide to do what is right, what God wants, what God tells you to do, other people aren't going to understand it. many times when I've heard something from God, I want you to do this. Other people did not understand. And they won't. Because they didn't hear it. Family members sometimes will not understand when you commit your life wholly and completely to the Lord Jesus Christ. Completely. They're not going to understand the changes that take place in your life. They're not going to understand the fact that you don't want to do the same things that you used to do. You know, I don't know what kind of family you have, but you know, even if you had a good family, but they're not Christians, they're not born-again believers, they're not going to understand the fact that you're no longer going to say the things and do the things and participate in the things that you used to participate in. You know, when Tammy and I were first saved, I remember receiving Christ as our Savior, bowed down at that altar, that little church, on a Wednesday evening. And I went to that church that night. That's what I was going for. I was going to get, I knew what salvation was, and I was going there to get saved. I also knew that I could get saved in my house if I wanted to, or in the woods, or any place I wanted to go. But I was raised in church, and I wanted to be in a church. So we went that night, and we received Christ. And when we got up from that altar, everything was different. We knelt down there at that altar as unbelievers, as people who were partying and crazy lifestyle. When we got up from that place, just from kneeling down before the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved by your grace. When we got up, we walked out those doors different people. We were changed. And we knew that we were changed. And yet, we went back and we went to our normal stomping grounds, our partying place with some friends, and we went to this place, and we just didn't feel any longer like we were part of that. And there was nothing wrong with those people other than they were not believers. They were still my friends, but we wasn't a part of that any longer. Our hearts had changed. And we walked away from that place knowing that we would never go back to that lifestyle ever again. Things were different. My friends didn't understand. Some of them. We got one back there, sitting back there. She understands. God is so good when He redeems His people. But don't expect everyone to understand it. You know, I was watching the other day. I want you to understand something, that wherever we are, wherever you are in your life, God has placed you there. And He's placed you there to be salt and light. Not everyone is called to be in one of the pulpit ministries of any kind. Not everyone's called to music ministry. Not everyone's called to be up front in some way. But everyone is called. You've all been called and you've all been gifted. And wherever you are, God intends for you to be an ambassador for Christ. And you know, sometimes I think we pressure people into, even our young people, we pressure our young people into going into full-time ministry when that's not what God's calling them to. It has to be something that you know for sure, without a doubt, that God is calling you into that type of ministry. Whatever career it is that you're getting into, make sure that you're hearing from God. Some of you, it's all a bit behind you anymore. You've done your thing. But you know, I'm speaking to maybe some younger people in here. What is God calling you to do? Hear what He has to say. And maybe some of you need to change your career. Maybe God has spoken, you went in your own direction, and God is trying to redirect you and bring you into a new place. Just listen to the Holy Spirit, for He wants to guide and direct your life. You know, while Tammy and I was down in Texas, I was watching ESPN, and ESPN has this program. It's called A Football Life. And basically what they do is they do a segment on professional athletes and tell their whole life. It's usually someone that's already out of the limelight, out of sports, has retired. But they did this segment on Emmitt Smith. And Emmitt Smith, when he came out of college, he was an awesome running back. And the Dallas Cowboys drafted him, and he had a great career. But it showed, here's what I wanted to tell you about Emmitt, was that when he had a list of goals when he entered the NFL that he wanted to accomplish, and some of them were pretty lofty goals about, you know, being having the highest rushing career average and all these, you know, things that he wanted to accomplish while he was in, and he accomplished most of them. But here's the thing that impressed me most. They showed the list that Emmitt Smith had, and at the top of that list, he said, make sure that Jesus Christ is number one in my life. Wow. And I believe that Emmitt hung on to that through his whole career and through his whole life. That's awesome. So, you know, it is very possible to be very successful in whatever career that God has called you to and still hold on to Jesus Christ as number one in your life. But on the flip-flop, on the other side of this, there was a young man not very long ago by the name of Patrick Tau, who was a very good quarterback. He was not drafted. However, he was the number or one of the top possibilities of undrafted individuals for the NFL to be somebody to pick him. He had gone to many of their camps. He had talked to a lot of the NFL owners. He was going to be used by the NFL. He had every opportunity to be able to be in the NFL. I don't know whether he'd have been a quarterback or not, but he was going to play in the NFL. However, during that period of time, right before he just made a decision, the Holy Spirit spoke to him. And he decided, rather than be an NFL player, he was going to be a full-time missionary. Now, that's the individual. I want you all to understand, you have to hear from Holy Spirit and know what He's saying to you. It was awesome that Emmitt Smith had the career he had and used the platform to promote the name of Jesus. But if Jesus, if the Lord is speaking to you to go in a totally different direction, listen closely to what He has to say. The last thing I'm going to share with you this morning. The hand of the Lord was with him. Luke chapter 1, verse 64, and immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, praising God. Then fear came on all who dwelt around them, and all those saying were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, what kind of child will this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. Wow. When you serve the Lord with your gifts and your talents and your abilities, no matter where you are, the hand of the Lord is with you. We have people in this congregation that do things for other people. Just about everyone sitting in here. You do things that you never get any recognition for. But I want you to know this. The hand of the Lord is with you. When you listen to Holy Spirit, When you choose to do what is right, no matter whether anybody else knows it, and I can tell you there's been things done for people in this congregation and by individuals that no one knows about, but it was awesome. And it's not my place to point them out. It's only my place to say, the hand of the Lord is with you. He will continue to be. Listen to Holy Spirit. 'Tis the season. This is it. This is the greatest season we have to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. People are more open right now to hear the gospel than any other time of year. We're always ambassadors for Christ, but what an opportunity we have. The hand of the Lord is with you. Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.